Hello and welcome to episode 14 of Room Escape Divas. Today we are interviewing Rich and Elizabeth from Trans World.
Woo! I desired a room daily, been forever too long. Nothing else is rewarding. This is where I've gone. So every day I am seeking. Some think I'm sick in the head. They don't get my obsession. So to them I said, I need to be a puzzle solver and getting locked in the game. And I'm not into yoga. Want to challenge my brain. And now the cipher clues my flashlight. All the rooms I have played. This is the love that I've looked for. A night for me's an escape.
You may have heard one of them sneeze in the background. That was one of them. I don't know which one. Actually, Elizabeth is laughing. I bet you it was her.
It could have been me.
I confess.
Well, welcome, Rich and Elizabeth. Now, I understand that we have two people from different areas of Trans World. But before we even get into that, if I could have one of you explain what Trans World is, that'd be great.
Basically, Trans World's a trade show company. They've been around for 65 years, producing various types of trade shows all over the United States. And we've kind of gotten into the escape room industry a little bit the last 3 years.
And we are interviewing you as well because coming up in August, I do believe, there is a conference. And that is I think it's called Escape Room Conference. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the Room Escape Conference, yeah.
Room Escape Conference. If you could tell us more about that, that'd be great too.
Sure. So August 12th through the 14th, we have basically a three-day show in a town called Schaumburg. It's in Chicago, basically. It's like 8 or 10 miles outside of Chicago. Basically, the conference is set up. It's going to have various things that cover everything from education to networking, to events, parties, and trade show floor, which will be comprised of a bunch of various exhibitors selling services and products for escape room owners. The trade show floor will be open for 2 days, and the other 3 days will be seminars. Friday, Saturday, Sunday will be seminars, events, and parties.
So I knew beforehand that you had another trade show in New Orleans, but I don't think that was dedicated to escape rooms, or is this the first one dedicated to escape rooms, or the second one?
Yeah, so we have a show every year. It's a haunt show. It's a Halloween and attraction show that's ran in St. Louis, Missouri every year. The New Orleans thing you probably got, we had a tour. Basically, it's an escape room tour that we did in New Orleans. There's a difference between a trade show and a conference, first off. You know, what we're running in Chicago, is a conference is a lot smaller. It's basically more educational-based and, you know, event and networking-based. Trans World is a trade show that we run in St. Louis, Missouri, and we probably have 300,000 square feet of space that's filled with various companies that are selling products for the Halloween and attraction industry. And what we've noticed over the last so many years that, you know, the escape room industry has really grown into our industry, and we dedicated 30,000 square foot to it this year. And, you know, there was a pavilion, you know, that was at the show that was dedicated to escape rooms.
Now, before you continue, I do want to point out something. It's actually quite okay to correct me, because these guys do it all the time, and I do have children, so it happens all the time. So no worries, because we don't know very much about the haunt world, even. We only read about it. We know of it because of many haunt owners that are starting to transition over to escape rooms because they find it really interesting. And I'm not usually the one that's doing all the talking, but right now I am. They're all just looking at
Yeah, no, I think we mentioned it before, but I think the first time that I had heard how big the haunt industry was from a guest of ours, Christine...
Barger.
we're all worried if we're pronouncing her name wrong, because we did it already once before, and now we've forgotten the correct pronunciation.
Yeah. So, yeah, one of our guests, Christine Barger, mentioned that she's very big into haunts, and when I started looking into it, I realized, oh, holy crap, the haunt industry is huge in the U.S., not so much in Canada.
Correct, yeah. Totally true. So basically, in the United States, 26% of all Americans have visited a haunted house or some type of haunted attraction every year. The industry has grown so big, it's a $7 billion industry. So if you compare it to other holidays, in reality, if Christmas didn't have gift giving, Halloween would be much larger. There's more money spent on Halloween, on decorations, on the holiday, on parties, on events, and a bunch of different stuff, more than Christmas. Just the only difference would be, the only reason why Christmas surpasses it is just because of the gift giving. But it's very big in the United States, and we've also noticed that it's growing extremely fast internationally. Our show in Missouri, you would be amazed at the amount of international buyers that come to the show, that are really growing into it. And escape rooms are as well. I mean, we're seeing a lot of international escape room owners or future owners coming to the show as well.
So, Rich, which way do you want me to call you?
Yeah, you can call me whatever you want. I mean, some people call me Dick. It just depends,
Okay.
I don't like that, but that's fine.
That's okay. Amanda calls me that, too, but for other reasons. Ow, it's true.
But I don't think they're calling me that, meaning my name. So usually something derogatory.
Transworld got interested into escape rooms, like you were saying, about 3 years ago. Is that correct? Were you around when that first started happening, or how did that all transition?
Yeah, I was. I mean, basically, what we saw was, slowly, we noticed it in our exhibitor base. Basically, what happens is exhibitors start coming to the show and popping up, and they start, asking to exhibit at the show, and then escape rooms, what we noticed is, the first year we had a couple exhibitors that were selling escape rooms, like a lot of them were like rooms in a box, and then it's advanced quite a bit. It's went away from that, and a lot of guys are selling individual products and props and puzzles and tech, and they're selling services on design, very similar to our industry. Like, it works the same way. We've noticed it, and then this third year, we come up with an idea, within in-house from... We have boards and stuff that we talk to, and some of our people had said, we'd like to see a lot more for escape rooms offered this year, and that's where we came up with a Transworld. We call it Escape Room City. I'm going to give Elizabeth credit for that because she actually came up with the name for it, but it's worked well. I mean, what I can tell you, the difference between the two is, if I can touch on just both shows. Transworld is more, if you've never been to it, it's almost like going to an amusement park. There's so many big, extravagant facades and, booths that are built at our show that you would be blown away that these people put them up for a 4-day show and tear them back down. It's crazy. They look like real buildings. This conference will be a little bit different. It's more educational based and more dedicated specifically to escape rooms. So Transworld is more... it has a little bit of offerings for escape rooms. It's growing quite a bit more, but this show is going to be more directly geared towards escape room owners.
Awesome. Now, because Elizabeth hasn't said anything other than that sneeze, I think we should bring her in now.
Absolutely.
I understand that you're in charge of seminars and probably just you're the escape room expert at Transworld. Is this correct, Elizabeth?
You guys might have scared her away.
I might have. Or maybe she might have dropped off the call. I hope not. Nope, she's still there.
Sorry. I was on mute. I didn't want to. I was on mute.
I'm sorry I bored you so bad.
Bringing me in. No. So I've been working with Rich and Jen. We worked first at Transworld, and we created Escape Room City. And it was such a phenomenal hit that they were like, and they got really into just the whole escape room industry and just the whole culture that was there. So we began to develop this conference to be something that was really more targeted, less haunt-based, and more targeted for escape room owners. So we created a space that, has everything from games on site to the latest tech, and to these seminars that we basically scoured through a whole ton of people that wanted to speak and did interviews and helped them refine what they were speaking on to be what we're hearing that people really wanted to be educated on, most of which is what's going to be happening in the future, other ideas like Gen 2 games and immersiveness and, what's next and, how to work with brands and film, family games, all these different kind of niche you know, markets in the community since March, since Trans World ended. That's basically been, you know, along with the tour, the escape room tour, that's what we've been kind of focused on.
Nice. Now, usually what we try and do is we usually do research on the people we're going to interview. However, I didn't know that Elizabeth was joining us. She was like phantom interviewer. So this is really exciting for us. I just like talking to people in general. You are an escape room owner and you also have a book and you've done a whole whack of things. Can you tell us about yourself, Elizabeth?
Oh, yeah, sure. So, I mean, the truth is who I actually am is I'm an artist. Okay. Well, and I'm a creative. And so most of my adult life has been in advertising. I'm a creative director. Basically in the experience end of things. So there's this whole experience market involved with. So when I began going to escape rooms and specifically when I went to Sleep No More in New York City, an entire idea opened up in my head about doing this and creating an escape game that, and actually spent a long time figuring out exactly how to make people have the feelings that I wanted them to have. And so Escape the 1980s was born. That's the escape room that I own. In addition to that,
Man Pants also tries to find how to make men have feelings too. I'm kidding. Sorry.
Wait, you know what? You guys are fine. I should tell you that there's periodic outages.
Yeah, we're hearing it on your end.
So if I'm delayed or something, it's because there's a little bit of a delay for me. So I didn't hear the joke.
That's good. You don't need to. I got hit.
Well, I guess the other things that I've done is, so I wrote an intro book on escape, on how to open an escape game. It's very experience perspective based. It's very based on developing experiences with Jen and Rich and their different initiatives that they've done.
Nice. What's the book called?
It's called How to Open Your Own Room Escape Game.
How to Open Your Own Room Escape Game?
Yeah.
Cool. Sorry, we're just getting a bunch of in and out, so I just want to make sure we're not getting partial titles, you know. Could have been How to Open Up a Room Escape Game in Kentucky. We don't know. So it's good that you just want to clarify that. Cool. Can you tell us, like, some of the programs that you plan on having at Transworld?
Oh, yeah, totally. So at the August event, we're having two very distinct tracks. One of them is, well, I guess it's three, actually. We're having a tech track. So anybody that's interested in learning Arduino or based, any kind of tech space, that's one track. And a lot of them are intro, but in one of them, it's a four-hour workshop where you can learn Arduino. You can actually walk away with a prop. Then we have a business track. And that one comes down to every aspect that is growing in this industry, everything from mobile escape games to family games to film and theater. We have a financial talk about, you know, it's kind of a global perspective of what's happening financially. Then we have more game shaping track. And in that one, it's things like immersiveness or using story to inform gameplay. Escape room owners can use to make their games better. And then there's things like team building. So it just covers literally across the gamut quote, hot topics in the escape room world.
That's pretty cool. Wow. So I know that there are a bunch of escape room owners that are going, and there are also a few enthusiasts that are going, and I see that they're like organizing all these escape rooms they want to do when they're in Chicago as well. So I don't know how they're going to find the time to do them all, but I do know a bunch of people are talking about it, and it sounds exciting. Kind of sounds very exciting. Are you going to do any escape rooms there? You're probably too busy running seminars, so probably not.
You know what? I'm actually going with Lisa and David. I'm going to an escape room with them. And
oh, nice.
There's all kinds of talk. And I should actually say, you know, and there's more than just a few enthusiasts coming. And we actually have an enthusiast that's on our board that actually doesn't have an escape game. He just loves them. For the group that's listening to this podcast, well, the reason why they might want to come is because of the escape room tours, the mega game that we're having on site, the pop-up game that's on site, and there's a couple other parties that they would be very interested in. It is definitely seminar wise is definitely geared for owners or prospective owners. But in terms of environment, this is the type of situation that escape room owners would say, you know what? Chicago is an awesome city. There's all kinds of escape room stuff going on. Let's go here on vacation It costs $25, and we can play all these games and do all this fun stuff.
Oh, yeah. Usually, if we had a small unconference happening here and a bunch of enthusiasts went, if we are probably closer, if I didn't probably already empty my conference, I can't really get away too much because of vacation and I have children. And usually if I'm going to go on another escape trip, somebody gets in trouble. And that might be me. So I try to keep those to a minimum.
Just to be single.
Yes, yes.
Or children.
Or children.
Right. You guys are also, you're in Canada also. It would be.
And it'd be very expensive, yes. Because our dollar is like at around, I don't know, 50 cents to yours. Not that low, but it's relatively low. So I'm surprised you didn't want to go, Mike, you know, and go and hang out and meet everybody.
Actually, we know quite a few owners coming from Canada to the Chicago conference, so we were really, really enticed to go, but yeah, it became an expense thing.
But yeah, we have met David and Lisa. They came up here on one of their many escape room tours, and we joined up with them and Amanda Harris and Drew, her boyfriend Drew, and they are the ones that they're like the king and queen of escape rooms because they're up to like 300 of them. So it's great because when we all get together, we really enjoy the community of escape rooms, because the thing about room escapes is that you can't talk about them with anybody else if nobody else has done it, because you don't want to give spoilers. And so when I found Mike and Ruby and they were doing escape rooms, they had a friend forced upon them, and now they can't get rid of me, and then I made them do a podcast.
And that's our story. If we were curious about the backstory, it's as simple as that.
It's really close. We should do a podcast. Are you still there, Rich?
I am.
Oh, huzzah! Yay, you're there. So, okay. Have you done an escape room before, Rich?
I don't know. I've visited probably, 50 of them by now, because I travel around a lot to, since we started, doing this in the industry. We made a trip to Toronto and went around to a ton of different ones and stuff. There's a bunch popping up here in Pittsburgh, and we have a haunt tour coming up in November, and we always tie some of these escape rooms into it. I'll probably end up doing some then, but I haven't actually had the pleasure of having the time to sit down and actually physically do one.
No, that's totally understandable. So why were you up in Toronto, by the way?
We went up there originally for this conference. We were trying to figure out where to put it, and we went to Toronto, and we, from my understanding, I mean, just from trying to get educated on this, I hear that it's the most densely populated city in the world with escape rooms, and we originally were thinking of starting, the show there, because, a lot of people want to see some good escape rooms, and from what I understand, they have some of the best around, and we figured why not start there. But when we went there, things didn't work out as planned. We were concerned about, a lot of Americans, having the ability to go there. Like most people do have passports now, but we just figured it might be more of a problem to start out with. But next year, I mean, there's a strong chance that we're going to be doing something, following this up with something in Buffalo, so that we can cross over and do a tour through Toronto. The plans are for the future to travel this show, and we've learned a lot from a lot of people, like just talking to them in different escape rooms, that people want the show during the week, because obviously escape rooms are extremely busy on the weekend, so it hurts their bottom line, not to be there, and for them to get away, and they can't bring staff to be educated. So, we're looking to next year probably doing stuff more during the week, and we're going to proceed the conference with a tour, just tie it all together. So, we'll probably be touring a bunch of rooms in Buffalo, New York, and in Toronto.
That's cool. I mean, if you come up here, that'd be great. Then we can see what guys, that'd be fun.
Yay!
Yeah. I don't know the exact dates when we were there, but I loved it. I mean, it was the first time I had been to Toronto. I've been to Canada a lot, but I've never been to Toronto. And then
you had poutine and, moose burgers and all sorts of things like that.
No, actually, it was funny. I actually injured my back when I was there, and I was. It was kind of cool because, like, in the States, we don't have. I don't know why, but there's like a specific. I think it was a Motrin that had a muscle relaxer attached to it. And it was like one pill and stuff. And I bought the stuff, and it like worked wonders. And when I got back, I ordered a bunch of it. And had it shipped. I was like, well, the Canadians are good for something besides hockey. So cool.
So you've now admitted on podcast you're just shuttling drugs to the States.
Yeah, you know.
So do you think there's a large intersect between the haunt audience and the escape room audience?
I think there's a lot that both industries have to offer each other is what I see. And that's kind of where why we decided to do Escape Room City at Transworld. I mean, it wasn't just a matter of it growing into the haunt industry and you know, it was just natural. The escape room industry, you know, there's a lot of very intelligent people, you know, in the industry, and they have a lot of great ideas, and they're good at the tech and figuring out the user experience and you know, knowing how to operate these rooms. And what the haunt industry has to offer, you know, obviously the escape room industry is light years ahead of the haunt industry, you know, in doing that side of it. But where the haunt industry really excels is the set design. They're unbelievable at it. I mean, some of the stuff that they built, and like I said, if you came to Transworld, you would almost be blown away where you're not even paying attention to Escape Room City. There's so much to see. It's like going to a huge amusement park or a haunted house and seeing all the set design and stuff that they can do. I think both industries can really offer each other products. And what we're noticing quickly is a lot of the haunt vendors, the guys that make the products for the haunt industry, they're quickly starting to adapt and making products for the escape room industry where they can take a specific prop and they can set it up, you know, to work in the room for, you know, whatever reason. If you have something, you know, obviously most of the escape rooms, just you do something, you have an action and a reaction, and that's what they're really good at. They'll figure out something where you do something in the room and, you know, they can make things happen. So it's really cool. You know, I think both industries work well together, and I think it's just getting used to each other too. I think the escape room industry, since it's much newer than haunt's been around for a long time, you know, I think over time, you know, they'll both learn to work together, and I think it's going to make both industries stronger.
Well, we hope so. We think so, because immersion-wise, when escape rooms first started off, they would have just been in somebody's bedroom or, you know, like a...
somebody's office, maybe.
Yeah, you got to escape... Office.
Sorry, that's a bit...
I don't know why you
that I wanted it to be.
You got to escape from your wife or something?
Errol's secret escape.
It started off in an office with a few locks, but then people have started to up the ante when it came to set design. And I do know there are some crazy immersive haunts out there, and it would be kind of cool. We ourselves are looking for more immersion within an escape room. We, you know, the more that we feel like we're part of a movie or part of a narrative, or just feeling like we're
having an adventure,
that's more exciting. And we know that the set design and probably, as you're saying, the different things you can have there would help accentuate that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the way I look at it is it's almost like going to Disney World. Mm-hmm. Like, I, when, you know, my kids were younger, we did a lot of Disney cruises, and people would say to me, why do you pay all the extra money to go on those cruises when you can go on a Carnival cruise or a Princess? And the answer was the service and was what you got to see. Like, when you walk into a place, you know, any business, no matter what it is, I think the most important thing is the appearance. When you walk in, if you got a bad vibe as soon as you walk in the door, your experience is going to be terrible right out of the gate, and you're just going to be have a mindset where it's awful. And I think what I've noticed, even in the 3 years that we've been involved in it, I'm seeing escape rooms like really step their game up. You know what I mean? And you're not just walking in and having some puzzles and some locks and stuff that you got to figure out. Now you're coming in and you're seeing these rooms that are just beautiful. And you're already in awe when you walk through the door. And I think that changes the whole mindset.
Now, do you, you might not know the answer to this, but in talking with the prop builders and the owners and whatnot, are there any difficulties in making the transition from haunt to escape room? Because unlike a haunt where you're very much a passive player, you're, you know, mostly watching, you're still experiencing it. But for instance, in an escape, you're going to have, like, say, 50 people handling that prop and stuff. And do you know of, you were mentioning adapting to prop building and whatnot.
Yeah, I think I get where you're going with it. And I think what I've just from, like, you know, I pay attention to a lot of what people say. And I think where the haunt industry is, it's going to take them a little bit of time to adapt is, from what I understand, is these escape rooms, the end user is really abusive to a lot of the technical, you know, props and stuff that are in the rooms.
And just in general, they're abusive. No, I'm kidding.
So I think it's probably that's probably the thing that's probably going to take a little more time for them to realize that the products that need to be built to last and need to be built to take a lot of abuse. I think they're probably pretty good at it already because the same thing happens in haunted houses. Like everyone touches everything and tries to break it. And, you know, if they get scared by, you know, you always have one guy in there that's not scared and, you know, he wants to do something to it. So that's probably the you know, their biggest challenge right now is just making sure they figure out how the things are going to work over and over and over.
Well, can I ask one more?
One more. Just so yeah, no, you don't have to apologize. Just ask, as opposed to wasting their time talking to me, asking for permission to ask.
Yeah.
Hey.
Sorry, I'm a jerk. You have to, if you listen to the podcast, you'll just mostly find that I'm a big jerk to Amanda.
Yeah, I think you just got my nickname. So. I mean, I thought she was being very sweet. And I think you were being a dick, but that's
right. Yes, that's my role in the podcast. We've had to beep out and cut out so many things because I'm very good at my role.
That's fine. Well, you make it entertaining. This is the funnest podcast I've ever been on.
Now, is it the only podcast you've been on?
No, I've actually been on quite a few. There's a lot in the haunt industry.
Oh, yay! Woo!
Extremely top boring. Five! Now, they're actually, a lot of them are pretty good, but this one's, you know, it's actually pretty funny how you guys make it entertaining.
Yay! So going back a bit, we learned about Elizabeth's role. What's your role in Transworld?
I don't know. I sweep the floors and kind of take the trash out and stuff. That's about it. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, honestly, I'm just kidding, but I do a little bit of everything. You know, I mean, Jen always tells everyone, like, I'm basically her right hand or whatever, but We have, you know, three or four people that are really heavily involved in everything, and then we have a lot of other people that assist in things. But, you know, I'm the vice president of the company is my title, but, you know, I don't really look at anything like that. We kind of do everything, you know what I mean? Everybody in our company works very hard. We take everything very seriously. Like, every comment that's posted online about our show or anything like that, we take it very serious, and we're... I don't know. We just really care about everything. So as far as it goes, I do pretty much anything and everything. I show up at the show and I'll set up and I sell booth space and I do podcasts with cool people from Canada. We pretty much do anything. So, you know, it's a little bit of everything is what I do. And Jen does the same thing. Then because we know the business so well, you know, that I am pretty involved in almost every aspect of it, it's easy when we run into a situation where I can't be there or she can't be there, you know, and I was supposed to be, we can pick up the slack, you know, because we try to stay on top of everything. But your answer is pretty much I do almost a little bit of everything.
Cool. So thank you very much, Rich and Elizabeth, for joining us. This has been very informative for us. I hope it's informative for our listeners. This is really cool. I hope you guys do come up to Canada because it'd be great to check you guys out.
We definitely will. And we may be around the area soon, you know, because we are looking into the Buffalo thing. We'd love to meet up with you guys. How close are you guys to the border?
Probably about an hour to 2 hours, yeah.
Yeah, and we may come into Canada. I don't know. Like we visit with Sean up in Toronto.
Yes.
State Games Canada. There's a possibility, like when we're in town, if you want to shoot me your information, one of your guys' cell phones or something. It may be in the next 2 weeks we may end up being around the area. If that happens, you know, I'd definitely reach out to all of you. The only person I don't really want to meet is the host. You know, I'm just kidding.
No, he follows us everywhere, so there's no choice there. You did.
Yeah, I'll just come.
I'm just teasing. If you haven't noticed, I'm a kidder. Just like But I'd love to meet you guys. It would be great. And if we're in town, we'll certainly reach out to you.
So for anybody that's interested in going to the conference, where can they get tickets and information?
So we have a website that you can buy the tickets off of. It's roomescapeshow.com. And you could also, if you like, you could email me at rich@haashow.com. And I'd be happy to answer anyone's questions on that. You know, you go to the website, all the information's on there. I'm fine with giving out my cell phone number, too, if anybody has any personal.
Just call Rich!
No, it's honestly, like, I mean, it's Jen and I handle 90% of the calls coming in. So, you know, that's how involved we're in and everything. Like, we want to just try to, you know, keep people happy and informed. So, but you know, you can reach out to us and we'd be happy to help you find out what you need about the conference.
Anyway, thank you so much, Rich and Elizabeth.
It's my pleasure. Hopefully Elizabeth is still there.
My pleasure too.
Woo!
I'm still here.
Take care and I hope you guys have a great weekend.
Have a great conference.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Now in this section, we're going to answer your questions.
Before we do that...
Sorry we're laughing because Ruby's trolling me.
No, I'm not.
All she does is troll and mock me. I don't deserve that.
Can we actually have another, like, just a differently worded transition?
No, what was wrong with that one?
Yeah. Just more of a... Because it was really jarring last time to have that end and just be like, now it's time for questions!
So, do you have a better idea?
I don't know yet.
Do you just want to talk into a sultry voice into the mic?
No, more like...
And now, it's time for Questions with Mando.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you. Oh,
that's going to be our intro. Bow chicka wow wow.
Just something like, you know...
It's too late, we already did it.
Now that we're done.
I don't know what was wrong with that. It was just...
Everything was wrong with that.
Everything was wrong with that. Okay, dear Amanda.
No!
What is your take on licensed rooms?
I'm going to cut out the other parts.
Like, why? You're not going to get them out.
From Escape Divas.
What's wrong with that? Actually, he says, dear Divas.
Mm. Maybe what is your take on licensed rooms? Do they mean like... You mean like movie ones, right?
Yes. What is your take on licensed rooms? If we assume escape rooms are paying for their licensing, which is a different topic, have you seen one done particularly well that did justice to the source material? And if you could create an escape room based on any title from any media, what would you choose? I actually haven't seen one done particularly well.
I don't think we've seen one really done.
Well, there has been... ones that have not
that
been real. They're
the
Inception.
No. Yeah, they're like the Asian places that tend to use like the movie names or famous character names.
And then also Da Vinci Room. Remember the Da Vinci Room?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. So, we have not seen any of them done very well, sadly.
What about the Alice in Wonderland one in London?
Oh, yeah, that's... Well, it's... Yeah, actually,
like,
that was good.
Set-wise and everything, nice. It looked nice and it looked... appropriately.
Sorry, I forgot about that
wacky.
One. That one was pretty good.
Yeah.
They did use, like, proper props, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the great thing about that, that's not really a license. That's, like, public domain now, isn't it?
Is it? I was wondering that, because it was based
on the
movie.
I don't know for sure.
Was it? But I thought
all
it was
the,
owned by
all
Disney
the pictures
still.
In there were Disney pictures.
Yeah.
Am I outing them? Crap.
Well, we didn't say which room.
No, we didn't.
Just said London.
But Disney has, like, their ear to the ground listening for vibrations that sound like a mouse,
that
you know?
Is true.
They have the mouse running around listening for these vibrations.
Yeah.
Doctor Who would be cool.
Doctor Who would be very cool to see.
Yeah, I'd like to do that one.
I think the trouble is with any kind of licensed property is that when it's done, the super fans or even the moderate fans are going to go in with high expectations of it. For example, I'm a big comic book geek, so if somebody were to do like a superhero room, I'm going to like scrutinize
everything.
Like, actually,
which
we
did.
Yeah, we did one of our early rooms was actually a take on a Super Mario room, and I remember that a lot of the decor tried to go on that level, but it wasn't that impressive. It was actually one of the most disappointing rooms that we did that we started out that made us do our blog, because we said, you know what? We're going to tell people about this room.
This is worse than the Super Mario movie.
Yeah. Well, the room decor itself, I think it would be a very cute kids room, the way that it looks. However, the puzzles and everything else that they put into it and the game itself, that was a horrible letdown.
There are a lot of Sherlock theme. That's probably open domain.
Same with Dracula.
Is that open domain is the proper word?
I don't...
Public domain, sorry. That's
it. Yeah.
Yeah. And Dracula, we've seen many of them done badly.
I think, with movie-licensed things, it's kind of like movie-licensed video games. Only recently has there been any that have sort of, or even comic-licensed video games, has there been any that actually are good. Because it used to be that, you know, you hear about a movie-licensed video game, and there was pretty like 90% chance that it was going to suck, because it either couldn't do well with the source material, or the people making it were, you know, contracted to make it without actually having any passion for it at all.
Well, I mean, the hard thing about Doctor Who, for example, is that it'd be cool if the Doctor was there.
Yes.
But if he's not there, then what is it? Then it turns into one of those boring episodes where
BBC,
he's not there.
If you have an escape room that you're planning when, you know,
you
with the
thing,
Doctor there,
you have a
I
thing
will
for
play.
Capaldi, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. You're into-
She's into older men, folks.
Patrick Stewart. Anyway.
I would find Charlie in the Chocolate Factory an interesting one, because the factory itself is pretty cool. If you can lick the walls, then it's sweet.
Oh, I don't want to go into an escape room where people have licked the walls.
This wall has not been licked yet. I'll put my tongue here.
Which one doesn't taste like saliva? That's the challenge.
I think we went off the rails.
Okay, we did.
We can go on the next one. Dear Amanda, first, can you suggest a way to examine every surface in a brightly lit room with a black light? Just did a room today. Oh, yeah, that had a black light 3 times. I'm not going to even read this, because then we'll all rage about how much we hate black lights.
We do hate black lights.
No, to be fair, I have seen black lights done really well.
Yes.
And when black lights are done well, I think it's amazing. It's a great way of showing
it's
a hidden
fun.
Thing. You know, if you know that something needs to be found in an area and you're given a black light, I think that's fine too, right? But if I have to search an area 4 or 5 times with a black light.
If we have to search an area that is the entire room with a tiny black light that flickers and goes out, then it will be instant rage time. I almost cried the last time it happened. Not even before turning on the light. It was like someone just handed me the light. I'm like, no, I can't.
All black lights go to man pants.
All the walls and all the... And then I'll miss something because it's the entire freaking room. And then they'll point it out, like, man, you didn't see that? Like, I don't care anymore. Anyway.
So the finding something with a black light once is, I think, okay. Relatively okay. I think the hard thing is if we've already searched the room once, we don't want to do it 2 or 3 more times. Anyway, I don't want to talk about that anymore. Let's go on to something. I think that would be a long question. Do we want to stop it there, or do we want to... Let's end on it. What do you think is the divide between acceptable outside knowledge assumption and unacceptable outside knowledge assumptions?
Ooh, that's a long discussion.
This is from Eric, right? Because I think Eric... And he's the owner of Escape Capers in Calgary, YYC, thinks it's okay to have outside knowledge to some extent. I don't think he's thinking that, you know, you need to, I don't know the date when Totoro came out.
1984. Oh, yeah. I just lost the escape room.
But I think it depends. You know, there are some things that a lot of people already know. And I think you have to, depending on the culture you're in, though, you have to take that into consideration.
I think outside knowledge is one of those things that designers don't really realize, especially until they start their beta testing. Beta testing is one of those essential things that when you're going through the process of making rooms that you find out, hey, this actually doesn't work. So... acceptable versus unacceptable, that's determined later as people play, but yeah.
The more trivia I see in a room, or like the more trivia that you would require, the more I want to rage about it.
So if it's trivia, I'm not really, if there's no way to find out the trivia,
that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like if there's nothing within the room to help you out, then yeah, you probably shouldn't have that in there, because suddenly, you know, people won't pass it, not because, you know, it's a particularly challenging one, only because they didn't have this particular piece of information in their lives up until now.
I have found rooms, for example, it's not even trivia, but it's a skill, and that's the magic eye, right?
Yes. Oh.
And that's like trivia, because either you know it or you don't. And I think I see a lot of rooms with magic eye now, they just have an alternative way to solve it. because they know there might be somebody that doesn't know how to solve it. And that's the same with trivia.
I can solve some, not all. The ones on the menu at Jack Astor's, I can't solve those.
There's the ones on the menu at Jack Astor's? I gotta try them. Astor's? Oh, no, no, you might be right. So I don't go to Jack Astor's that much, so I don't know.
We went there for puzzle points.
We did. I was looking at the puzzles. Anyway, now, the event that we did, there was a rhyme, and I'm not going to say the rhyme, but yeah. I was really worried about it because I didn't know if everybody knew it. And there was at least one team that didn't know it.
Yep.
But I kept it in because we had a billion clue givers.
Yep.
And that's the reason I kept it in. If there were no clue givers whatsoever, and we also allowed internet too, so people could check on their phone. And there were internet people, and I also prepped all my actors, saying if they don't know what that is, tell them,
because
I didn't want to get them stuck.
Yeah.
And I've noticed, like, I think we've done at least two or three rooms that had the. I still don't know what the thing is where you have no, you don't see, you don't speak, you don't hear, or something.
A phrase. It's like, and certain, like, phrases.
Yeah, like that phrase, I don't know the order. And it was like, I think at least two or three rooms we've been to where I had to know the order, and I'm just like, okay, so this is just trial and error now.
Yeah. Because, like, there are some phrases that you don't know the order, but you've heard it so many times.
Yeah. Yeah. There was some post on Facebook the other day about somebody who had to do algebra in a room.
Oh, dear Lord.
And it wasn't advanced algebra, but it was still, like, you know, as they said, like, it's been a few years since I've been in high school. Haven't had to use this for many, many years, and luckily we had a teenager with us, but it scared everybody. And I was wondering, like, maybe, because sometimes when you have a chess game in an escape room, for instance, often they will include the rules with that. And
so you want an algebra book?
I don't know an algebra page.
Algebra 101.
An algebra page with an example. I thought, is that a way to get around it?
No, now that's homework.
Or should you just not have algebra?
That sounds awful.
Here's a book. Well, so is learning chess.
I think that's horrible too.
I agree.
Now it's. But people have said, but then you'll have that one person who loves it. And yes, you will have that one person who is now the hero, and there you go. And I could see that being a sort of viable thing, but how often does that happen? I don't know.
Actually, I mean, maybe this is a sub-question of this, is are they more acceptable in larger groups, say groups of 12 or something, where
somebody is bound to know something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But it also depends on, like, the type of people that go. Like, are they going with their like-minded friends? If you're a newbie, you'll probably go with people that you usually hang around with and think like you and have the same knowledge as you and probably went to the same program as you in university, per se. So then you would, even if it's a group of 20, you still would have nobody with that knowledge.
Or if it's a cultural friend. But then if they're
randoms. Yes. If they're with randoms, then you have a bigger chance. Yeah. Yes.
If anything, I think it's okay if there's somebody in the room. If you can ask them, and they will tell you the answer and not hide it from you because you just don't know, then I think that's okay.
Or if you could check your answer, hey, is this right? Or
book or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, if the answer's in there somewhere, then that's okay.
But don't hide it in a library.
Yeah.
Lots of books, not fair. Don't do that.
Well, and I think back to that room I brought up a few podcasts ago, which I was raging.
that's an understatement.
Right. I can't remember which episode, but that's one of the examples of outside knowledge that I cannot tolerate, in which we had used up all of our clues, and in which there was a puzzle that depended on 10 pieces of trivia that were fairly obscure pieces of trivia as well. Like, they weren't all immediately obvious, and there was no help. And there was no way to know it. So we had to sit in the room and wait to just lose, basically.
Oh.
What's wrong?
No, I'm kind of reacting to you. And then I also see, that's a really cool clock in my Facebook. So I maybe.
This is why you shouldn't have your computer open during podcast time. Okay. I know you don't listen to me anyway.
No, I was listening. I listened and then I remembered I heard the story already. And then I stopped.
That's true. You've heard it like 10 times. Poor Errol. Now I feel guilt. Here you go.
I'm joking.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not.
Anyway, thank you very much, everyone, for listening in on this podcast. My name is Errol.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Ruby.
And we are the Room Escape Divas. And now it's time for Amanda's outro.
What are you doing?
Oh, we're just getting up to get ready for your outro, man.
I'm just going to get my camera ready this time.
Please don't shoot me.
Well, no, we're not going to shoot you. Ah, there's things in it!
Room Escape Divas is brought to you by Inverse Genius. You can go to InverseGenius.com to find all sorts of other awesome geeky podcasts like this one. Errol's about to take my eye out with a Nerf gun. You can also go to Facebook and like us. Just go to the Room Escape Divas Facebook page. You can also find us at... Oh, man! You can also find us at...
Sorry. Yeah. You really can't balance.
Okay. You can also find us on Facebook. Just go to the Room Escape Divas Facebook page and click the like button. You can also email us at roomescapedivas@gmail.com. And if you're using Twitter, you can use the hashtag REDivas.
Thanks for listening. Bye-bye!